Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I am Judy Nathan still.
And I'm Robert Winters.
Nothing happened in those 3 minutes.
That's right.
No time travel.
That's it. Yeah.
Where would you go back to if you could time travel?
If I could time travel? That's an awful good question.
I caught the end of Peggy Sue Got Married the other day.
Yeah.
That was Frank Ford Coppola. I can't believe it. He did that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, if anyway. I could go back, actually, I would love to go back to some significant moments in history just to
listen. You really, before your time, you
No,
mean.
I would love to hear Abraham Lincoln speak.
Oh,
I would
love to,
you know, I would love to actually meet George Washington, you know. Wow. And I'm not just Americana, you know.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet some of these characters. So just
wow, that's interesting. I'm sorry I asked the question. I was just thinking of my own lifeline.
You know,
it's just so funny.
Actually, it's just as a little aside, you know, one of my secret identities is that I'm the publisher of the newsletter of the Middlesex Canal Association.
Oh, right, yes.
Which I mailed out this morning.
Oh.
And when we go along, the Middlesex Canal ran from Sullivan Square, Charleston. It's actually named after the first president of the Middlesex Canal Corporation, up to Lowell. And it was really the first serious canal in the country. And in fact, the engineers from the Erie Canal actually came here to learn how to make a canal.
Interesting.
But the thing is that when I walk along places like that, I always, along the towpaths, because
a lot
of it's still in existence.
Yeah.
I put myself historically back there, and I kind of imagine there being boats being tugged along and whatever. So if I could actually do that,
good for you.
That would just be the coolest.
Good for
you.
That
would be so cool. So
all right, I'll have to think of my answer because I wasn't thinking far enough back. I'm sorry.
You surprised yourself with that question.
I did surprise myself. You really gave a, as usual, very historical answer.
So there were a few other things I think of interest. That
happened last night.
Yeah, or city council orders from the previous week that actually either did or didn't get a detailed response.
Right.
One of the ones that I still find very interesting, and there was a little bit of news that I hadn't picked up on. So there was this property in Kendall Square called that was supposed to be the site for what they called the Constellation Center.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Constellation Center Foundation established.
For many years,
and they've basically been holding the property since... it's like close to 20 years, maybe a little bit less.
It was vacant?
It's been vacant the whole time.
How can they afford to do that?
Well, the thing is that if it's vacant land, you pay taxes only on the vacant land.
Oh, that's right. We had that whole discussion of vacancy.
And if it was promised to be a cultural center, I think the tax arrangement is a little bit different. I'm not sure exactly.
Well, it never did materialize, so they should owe money.
Right. Now, if you were just an investor who was basically land banking, you might have been treated a certain way. But this was supposed to be a community use, performance arts and performance center. Never happened. Now, there's some people of the I think maybe a little fairly or unfairly, but they feel that this was really just holding the property, waiting for the value to rise.
It's hard to see it that way, actually.
Fact that if it was owned by a foundation, then any money they make goes to the foundation, which has to then be used, if it was indeed a nonprofit, for the mission. You can't just pocket the money and run.
What was the mission?
It was basically to create an arts and performance center.
Yeah, so what do they do with the pocketed money?
They got to build an arts and performance center or something else that's in sync with the federal laws
about
charities. But
they sold it to someone, didn't they?
So the money, $50.5 million to Biomed Realty, which is basically already owns a lot of the property in
the
vicinity.
Oh my gosh, they're not going to build an arts center, are they?
Actually, there's what makes it interesting.
Okay.
So the thing is that, and again, the folks of the East Cambridge planning team know this back and forth better than I ever will. But the thing is that, so this is something they've been waiting for ages. And you know, I think most people basically still believed that these were people of goodwill who really did intend to do it. They just didn't know how to pull it off. So the thing is that now you've got a situation where they've got this money. Now, should they be spending it? There's several things. Are they still obliged to take that money and use it for that purpose? In a related matter, when you've got Biomed Realty, are there some conditions on the property? Because this is actually part of the Com Energy site that turned into Watermark and some other properties all around down by Broad Canal area. So I think that there are strings attached, so that if you're now Biomed Realty, you can't just sort of build a big lab building. I think they may be, and again, this is why this is an interesting order from the council, saying we want some history and some information about this.
Wasn't that public knowledge?
It is public record.
Whatever the sale requirements are?
Yes, and it's a public record, and in fact, there may have been conditions laid down as part of the special permit process.
Right, but I'm just saying, isn't that information publicly available?
It's available. So the thing is, it's a matter of putting it all in one place.
Oh, I see, and we're asking the city to do that?
Well, better that the city should do it than just an interest group, because then they may slant it one way or the other. So what they need is an objective account.
Yeah.
Of what the obligations are and what the flexibilities are. So for example, there may be certain restrictions on height that were based on standards from 2003 or whenever this was passed, when it was the Com Energy site, because they basically, you could have transferred a lot of the height to the other buildings with the presumption it was gonna be like a three or four story performance center.
So is this sale already closed?
August 29th, done deal.
Oh, so it's a done deal.
Yeah. So now is Biomed Realty obligated to create a performance center, for example, within?
I suspect that it is not. And so maybe they'll just give the money to the city to do something with
it. I suspect that it is, but...
Why?
Well...
Why couldn't they just turn around and say, well, in lieu of us doing it, here's the money that would have been gone to that, and you do it.
The reason why I suspect that it is that there was a certain amount, I think, of transfer of... development rights that happened as part of the
so that's the big planned
unit
don't
development.
Know. Right, so but you don't know that.
Well, it's probably written into the conditions that the planning board established when they granted the special permit. And so that's legally enforceable. So somebody's just got to pull that
off
the shelf.
If that's exactly how they signed off on it, they could have
made
some change.
Just waved them through, but I don't think so. Hmm. The person who was the developer was David Clem of Lawn Properties at the time. And David,
is he still around?
He lives in New... Well, actually, he sold his property in New Hampshire. I think he's living in Houston or Florida or something like that.
He's not local.
Not anymore. He's a former city... He was a city councilor, one-term city councilor, David.
Of course, yes. I remember the name.
And, you know, loves diners, too, by the way. I like David Clem. But the thing is, he believed in that. He really saw having that performance center as an integral part of
the
whole development.
Was this way before the talk about the Foundry building? And
long before anybody heard of
Foundry. Because the Foundry building's going to have some kind of...
Right, so I guess the city could sort of take the big view and say, well, maybe we're creating that. But the truth is that in comparison to the grand performance center that was supposed to happen, Constellation Center was not going to be like a, you know, off the wall cinema. This was going to be serious. So, and the performance center that they'll have as part of the Foundry building, which by the way, I saw some nice cut-ups of where that's going to the other day as part of Parking Day.
Yeah.
The people down at Kendall Square, they had a whole display. They had a big mock-up of the Foundry building here. You could lift
that's
the roof
great.
Off and do
so
that.
So there's a performance center there.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not nearly of the scale.
Well, what would have been the scale of the other one?
Oh, God, like a Boston Opera or something.
It been... come on. Then where are the cars parked?
I don't know.
I mean, I just think...
Cars? Why? See, how can you even speak of cars? This is Cambridge.
But in this past 20 years...
How dare
years,
you? Cars
whatever,
are evil, don't you know that?
It's been so developed over there that I think that's almost unrealistic to have something like the Boston Opera House.
Well, maybe.
Something small.
Well,
I like
on the
small
other hand,
venues, not more than 250
On the other
people.
Hand, the lot, you could dig down, put a garage underneath for that, and then build up. So so maybe there's some
if
sense.
It was only going to be that, but now it isn't only going to be that.
Right.
That's the issue.
So here's what I think should
happen. Okay.
For those of you who are not listening to me, hear me out, right? You may want to give Biomed a little more height, a little more everything here in exchange for
some kind of
building at least some piece of what was promised.
Hmm.
And then we will all be made whole, right? That's how it could happen.
Could,
so
maybe.
And I think if there are already conditions and strings attached to the property,
well, that would be interesting.
Then
to
that's
see.
A good place to begin.
Yeah,
so that's why I love this order. It was from Councilors Kelly and Toomey.
Yeah,
and it was exactly on spot. You know, let's find out where we start this conversation.
So this goes to the city manager.
Yep, come back, give us the information. You know, it may be as simple as just calling up the planning board and they go, here it is, here's the file, done. Could be that. There may be other restrictions, but I just think, to me, that was a good piece
of
thing.
So is the nonprofit foundation out of it completely now?
They
don't
property.
Answer to anything. It's all the buyer now.
Well, except for the fact that they are listed as a foundation, and even on their website it says click here to donate to them. So they present themselves, and I by the way, I want to be really clear. No, but I'm just
saying, are they out of it in terms of anything to do with that property?
Yeah, Glenn and Company, the folks who are doing this, I think, are good people. But the thing is they present themselves as a charitable organization. And you can't, as a charitable organization, if indeed you are like a 501c3 or whatever,
just make money and you from made a big
50.5 thing. Million yeah. bucks minus whatever other costs or if the city starts
to?
Or tries to pull back some taxes from you, whatever your net is, if you are a nonprofit, you can't just, you know, invest that in pork bellies, right?
No, but they can invest it in their foundation work. What's wrong with that?
But their foundation work is specifically performance spaces and whatever.
In general, it is?
That's it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Now, they could change, I suppose. But the thing is that I just think they're good people. So, you know, if we're going to be talking about an arts overlay district for Central Square, and if Biomed is going to be doing something down there, I say let's keep open a conversation with Constellation Center Foundation. They've got some resources from this. They have an obligation to use it. Give them a place to use it. Help them out,
if that's
well, they're not. They can't just sort of put it in a mattress, and
so. But you don't know what they're doing. They could be building somewhere else.
That's true. They could build a performance center in Houston, Texas. It's absolutely true.
But the thing is, I don't know enough about them and their mission to know.
Well, their office is East Cambridge. So the thing is I just think there's an opportunity there. And I hope that our elected officials don't screw it up.
Well, it's a lot of money.
People with Biomed are totally reasonable people. Mm-hmm. I think the folks with the Constellation Foundation, their intentions were good.
Well, I'll be curious to see a report on it.
Everybody loves to talk about arts and you know, preservation of arts and space and whatever in Cambridge. So there's a conversation that could lead to something good.
But it just sounds like it took too long to get to this.
You know,
and that is sort of suspect.
Maybe in the end, the
seems like they waited to get the right price.
Maybe the good intentions were not matched by sufficient expertise to make
somebody
good
wasn't
thing
watching the ball.
But if you partner up with people who know how to make things happen, maybe things will happen. And that'd be a really nice addition to Kendall Square. Or if they want to do it, hey, come talk to us in Central Square too. But the thing is
where are you going to put a big opera house?
Well, maybe
here?
You can't put a big opera house, but the thing is, maybe you could support the
Central Square Theater. Yay!
Or the cultural center. Yeah. You know, people talk about artist space and whatever, you know. So there are things that could be done, and it would be consistent with the mission.
They could have bought the EMF building.
So keep talking, folks.
All right.
Make good things happen. Yeah. So anyway, there was nothing the city council could do other than say, okay, pass it and
get the information.
I think it would be good. Yeah. Another item that was made subject to the charter right at the previous meeting was a committee report. That was from which committee was it? It was,
there were several committee reports.
Transportation, I think.
Yeah.
It was the one that had to do with residential permit fees.
Oh, the parking fee.
Parking fee, right. So every year, it used to be like $8.
Was a long time
earlier?
Ago.
It was $4 or $5 and it was $8.
No, it was $8 that I remember. And then it was.
I confuse the cost sometimes with the cost of getting your car inspected, which used to be pretty cheap, and then they ramped it up.
Oh, yeah.
Even though for those of us who drive a 40-year-old vehicle who've been exempt from all of the requirements.
You are?
Yeah. Other than basic safety requirements.
Oh, okay.
So basically all the emission standards, whatever, they just press the button and go.
Okay.
But I still have to pay the same price. Even though basically they're looking, going, you're okay, get out of here. Your headlights work? Good. See ya. Bye.
Well, headlights,
horn?
Blinkers.
You got a horn?
Horn.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Right.
But emissions, they're going to give you some great.
I get nothing. There's nothing. Yeah. I got no emission standards at all. Right. I mean, I don't want to have a polluting car.
Right.
So I try and keep it as tuned as it's.
Well, you never drive, so that's.
But it's a 1979 vehicle, so hey, that's where it goes. But anyway, as everybody knows, and soon you'll be part of the lineup, I suppose. Starting November 1st of every year.
November 1st.
That's the first day you can get your sticker.
You have it till January 31st.
And it works all the way through the following calendar year.
And you can mail it in if you've done it previously. So it's not that onerous.
That's true. So I always do it by mail.
Yeah.
And but the thing is that it's always a comedy to go there in January. Your year permit still carries over for a little grace period into January.
A month. Yeah.
So as you get close to January 31st,
everybody that didn't realize it starts.
Well, I live down the street from City Hall Annex, which is where you go for the permits, and you know, it's just comedy. You go by there and you see the line.
I know.
Coming, you know, they have tellers at every window. Uh-huh. The lines are coming out. It wraps up the stairs, goes up to the atrium. Sometimes it goes right out the door.
It's crazy.
And just people, because they probably forgot. I forgot, you know. So. Anyway, so I think it was Councilor Zondervan was floating the notion. First off, saying that, well, the fees, it's now, what, $25?
Mm-hmm. You're a senior, you don't pay anything.
Right. So I guess, depending on how you define you senior, pretty soon I won't be paying anything.
I think it's 65, I think.
Yeah. All right, so I'm still paying it.
Yeah.
All right. But the thing is, the question is, should you? Now, the thing is, the fees...
Should you what, pay?
Well, no, I'm not saying you shouldn't pay. But the thing is that, so it's $25 now, it's being proposed to go to either $35 or $40 per year. It's not going to break me, but the thing is, it's an annoying thing to pay more. So, but under state law, it's a fee, so it has to be used only to support the program. But part of the program is having all those tellers and whatever to support the issuance of the stickers themselves. So one person is actually Gary Mello, you know, who's sometimes a little wacky, but the thing is that he said something pretty smart here. He said, why don't you, when you get your new car, or in my case, you buy your old car, you pay a one-time higher fee.
But what would a one-time fee be for a car if you keep 10 years? See, so, I don't agree with that. I agree with keeping maybe the same sticker and just doing something by mail.
Well, but why not just basically say, look, it's first off, the city is not the fiscal stability of the city or its parking traffic part is not dependent on this anyway.
No.
This is sort of a courtesy. It's an acknowledgement of the fact you're a resident, you have a motor vehicle, right? So to me, how about, what Gary's suggestion was, is I think more or less was, so when you first get a sticker, you pay, let's just make up a number and say $50, and then you put it on your car. And for as long as you own the car and you stay in the city, then you just park. It's it. Why do you have to renew it every year?
Okay, so it would have to be at least 50.
Right, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and it's a one-time thing.
Well, of course, for me, you know, I keep my car.
You would still need people come and go in the city. So they do they pay $50?
So you pay, and then when you move out.
What if you only are here for 2 years?
Your sticker's no longer any good.
Okay, that would equal that. Right. All right, I sort of get that.
Yeah.
But would there be some...
And if you buy a new car, you
get
a new sticker.
Well, I know, that happened to me too, yeah. You can't transfer it, but...
Right, so it just seems to me like that's a pretty simple solution that would be, you know, a good thing. So, but now I think... But, you know, there's an interesting piece of rhetoric that you get whenever they talk here. So whether it's Councilor Zondervan or Devereux or whatever, it's sort of like, well, we need to discourage people from driving, so we should be increasing the rates for the residents.
Yeah, I think that's more the issue, is that it so easy to have a car.
But the thing is look, if you increase it $5, $10 here,
it's not gonna make
you're just going to take $5 or $10 from somebody. You're not going to... The disincentive associated with that is so...
You would have to make it $400 or something.
In which case, I would never vote for you.
No, right.
Right, and not because I can afford it.
But also, I could see them raising it to 35. And, you know, this whole thing about means test and all that, I'm sorry, I disagree with that.
I agree.
If you have a car, it costs money to put gas in it. So, it costs $3 a gallon.
Right.
So you're telling me that $35 a year is
if they wanted
much?
To have kind of a more simplified procedure where somebody is empowered to waive the fee, right?
Okay.
So you don't do a means test.
Right.
You don't have to bring in your income
tax
statements.
Well, it would be like an abatement thing for taxes?
No, because that is specific. You have to say, okay, here, what's your age? What's your this? What's your that?
Okay.
Then, are you eligible
but that's
or not?
But still, it's a one-time procedure.
Right, right. But the thing is to me, turning it into something where you have to, you know, put people through some onerous process as opposed to waiving the fee because of some... Because, I actually believe in empowering administrative people, giving them some authority to grant exceptions.
But on what grounds?
Well, you'd have to give them a kind of a list of, you know, you ask people the right questions, and then, okay, fine. Mrs. Jones, we'll let it go, right? I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, of all the things we have to deal with and with it, you know, Boeing, right, this but and that, creating, that's one issue. But if I'm they, sorry,
if,
I just don't
so
agree
if
with
they
it.
Were to have yeah. pursued this matter and they would probably debate, like, well, yeah. what should be the criteria for the means test?
Right.
Well, should the council vote on this?
And that's going to take more people and more work, then it's crazy. Right?
Let's just say it ain't happening because
no, that won't happen.
It was put to a vote.
Oh, right.
Where the order that was contained in the committee report. Yeah. And it got 3 votes in favor, 4 votes opposed, and 2 absent. The 2 who were absent were Councillors Simmons and Toomey, who I can assure you
would have voted.
Actually, come think of it, it was actually 4 votes for it, 3 votes against, but the 2 who were absent, had they been there, would have voted against. So it didn't have a majority, it needed 5 votes. But even if it was full attendance, it wasn't going to get the 5 votes. So it's done.
So right. there'll be no increase?
No increase unless there was already one previously scheduled,
well,
and I believe it's not. They've already basically printed up the materials with the fee schedule, so don't worry
about it. I like the idea, though, now that I'm thinking about the one-time thing, and that is not a hardship.
I think these are things they should revisit. Actually, it was Councillor Kelly, who, honestly, Councillor Kelly seems to be the idea generator in the body these days. And Councillor Kelly also suggests, said something really radical, like, which is, we get our annual stickers because we're used to getting annual stickers. We move our cars for street cleaning every second Tuesday and Wednesday because we're used to it. But is it actually always necessary
to move the car?
Well, it is because you're going to get towed,
right?
But in places like Somerville, they'll ticket you, but they won't necessarily tow you. Right? So the question maybe. So should it be mandatory towing?
Okay, so you're talking about forget permits and just...
No. That's an unrelated issue.
So...
But the point is that we totally accept the street cleaning, no parking on the outside of the street,
yeah, yeah.
You'd be tagged and towed. We accept it because it's music to our Cantabrigian ears. We've been hearing it for
so many
decades.
So what's the point here? I don't get it.
Well, the point is that should we... Is it actually... worth doing that, right?
The street cleaning.
I mean, I remember hearing,
instead of just ticketing.
I like the fact that if there's some car that's sort of a derelict car, when they do the street cleaning, they tow it away, it's gone. And I've seen that happen sometimes. Certainly there are times a year, like the first flush, basically the first year, if there's a lot of grime from the winter, I look forward to street cleaning.
Right. The towing people get money. So maybe that's
so are we
issue.
Doing this basically just to fund Phil's
Dick's towing or Pat's
towing.
It is, yeah.
So, I don't know that we should be necessarily supporting that. So to me...
You still get a ticket.
Right. But the first street cleaning is in April. That should be absolutely mandatory towing because there's a lot of crap on the street, right?
But and you should learn. If you were towed
you
once,
should learn,
you should
right.
never bark again.
But as the year progresses, do you really
need
to do it?
True.
Is it so important when...
Good point.
During July
and August. So in other
words,
we could be
August
saving a lot of...
Hassle, just
hassle,
so you can ticket
yeah.
them or something like that, but just let it slide, right? But then for the after the leaves have fallen, you definitely want to make sure you get all those leaves out of there. So the lighter ones should also be mandatory. Okay. So anyway, so that was suggested, but doesn't go anywhere it seems, but it could be it could be discussed further, right? So then they'd have to change the recording. Move your car, no parking on the outside of the street, or you'll be tagged.
Oh, I hate that,
But not necessarily towed.
That'd be funny.
Right, unless it's April.
Right, or December.
So, and then everybody will be upset because it's like changing the lyrics of a song, right?
Yeah, right.
So, anyway.
That's funny.
So, anyway, so that was something that we brought up last night, but it didn't go anywhere,
Yeah.
One of the things that I noticed, this is sort of a minor point, because... There's, I think, about 4 live zoning petitions right now.
Oh, right,
The Brown petition's gone for good, but there was one having to do with accessory dwelling units. One has to do with cannabis.
Table?
Yes.
Accessory dwelling.
Well, I was going to mention that one.
All right.
There was the flat roof rainwater one.
Yeah, that
and
one I know about.
Something else, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's only 3, I forget. But I was thinking about it earlier today. I said, okay, so there was a council order came in. It was a council petition to do some further amendments to the regulations involving so-called accessory units, which was really the Barrett petition from a few years ago.
Yeah, I thought that was settled.
Well, that's the law right now. So there was an order came in, I think Councilor Carlone even signed on to it, doing some modifications. Now, there was some, we don't need to get into all the specific modifications, but, the things like you could only have one accessory unit per lot. I don't know that it says that in the existing law. Could you allow a garage to be accessory unit under the current law? That was not included, so they want to maybe say maybe you should, right? But here's the rule, is that so that came in June 25th?
I don't know.
And the council is obliged to have a ordinance committee within 65 days. It never happened. At least I don't think it happened.
I don't even remember that on the
right discussion. So it didn't happen. So did the council decide never mind? Or did somebody forget?
Does it stand then? I don't understand.
As far as I'm concerned, it's just going to die a natural death and expire without anything being done. But
I thought it's allowed.
No, the thing is, the existing law under the Barrett petition it stands.
Okay,
the thing
so is this is something.
But if I wanted to, let's say I had a garage.
So it's the garage thing that is.
Yeah, and I want it to just turn into a studio apartment, right? An in-law apartment. Right now, you couldn't do it. Should you be able to? Should have been at least a hearing, for goodness sake.
So you think they just forgot about it?
They punted it. They just, so I don't know why. Maybe they were all worked up about the cannabis zoning or the Brown petition for climate safety.
So whose responsibility is it to, we only have a, to go, to
the
get
the ordinance committee should have scheduled a hearing.
Okay.
And they didn't. So it's going to just die, I think.
Oh, I see, because it's got to
Already, maybe they could just rush it and sort of, I think they could.
Well,
they
if
could
anyone's watching
it.
This, maybe they could figure that
anyway,
out.
Anyway, plenty of other stuff happening. Bicycle ride is this Sunday.
Just go to Robert's Civic Calendar. You'll see it all.
A lot of fun stuff happening in good old city.
Okay, see you next week.
See you later on Cambridge Inside Out.
Bye.